What's up, everyone? You're listening to Coach and the Kid. I'm Nick Hadge with NBA head coach Don Casey. How's it going, Coach?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Nice round of playoffs. Interesting lottery. What do you think about the lottery?
I think it's really interesting.
You think it's really kind of convenient that they got the first pick?
Yeah, it's very interesting that, well, they traded Luka, and then they had a 1.8% chance of getting the first pick, and they got it. I think it's very interesting that they were able to land it. What do you think?
Well, you know, it depends on what saint they were praying to. Like St. Jude of impossible desperate cases. To me, it makes the lottery real. Mm. That, you know, exceptions can happen. And we lived through the torture of a tainted envelope that got Patrick Ewing supposedly to New York. And ever since that controversy, there's always been a little bit iffy or here and there. But I don't think so here. I don't see why.
You don't think at all that, at least this season, that the lottery was rigged?
I don't think it's ever rigged. But for the league to benefit, who do you think would be ideal for him to go to if the lottery felt that way? Fortunately, he doesn't have to go to Wizards.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is probably anybody but the Wizards, the Hornets, or the Jazz.
Yeah.
It would be very tough for the NBA if he got drafted there to these franchises that haven't done anything for a long time. But in a way, they would benefit from getting a player like that at the same time. You know, how could they ever be good if they don't get a franchise player? But they're also in that hole because of themselves, so it's kind of a weird predicament.
Yeah, I think that the Dallas situation, which is controversial because of the GM and the new ownership being mostly Vegas people, that if it was rigged, you're putting a pretty good player into a mushy situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we want the player to benefit, to be up that ladder. So maybe it would have been better if he was someplace else.
Mm.
So I just think, you know, good, bad, or evil, that it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, how they make the choice. The rigging is disturbing.
You touched on the Ewing lottery. Do you have any thoughts about that one? That's a very controversial with the envelope.
Well, the thing is, like, the at that time, I mean, even now, New York is ideal, you know, to be on TV and to be involved. And they were really down. So that's where that came from, that this helps bring them up. Plus the fact in those days, like Patrick Ewing, Mourning, Mutombo, they all stayed in college for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they came out, you know, a little better player than you'll see coming out today after 1 year. So if you have that type of a player and it can anchor into one of your, you know, your prominent franchises that has enemies as many as fans. So that's where they said the envelope was cold or frozen. Or
mm-hmm.
So when he reached down, he could recognize it. That's a pretty good makeup theory, but never proven. So that's, what, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
So now you're back to it now. I wouldn't cling to that.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because there has been a trend recently where these teams have traded their franchise player and then have gotten the first overall pick. For example, the Pelicans, they traded Anthony Davis away to the Lakers, and then they got the first pick and they got Zion. It also happened to the Pelicans when they were the Hornets. They traded Chris Paul, and then they got the first overall pick and drafted Anthony Davis. And then,
is that when the league owned Hornets?
Yeah, that was around the time
Stern interfered with the trade.
Yeah, so yeah, the NBA had, you know, some sort of ownership over the Hornets at that time. That's when they traded Chris Paul. And then right after that, they got the first overall pick.
But what trade did the Stern get? Was it a one that was going to the Lakers?
Yeah, it was Chris Paul to the Lakers.
Right. He ended up where?
Chris Paul ended up on the Clippers.
So, but Stern, as a commissioner, you wielded his power. Because I think he said if it goes to the Lakers, it's unfair or it's overpowering or it was something. That's a good question.
Yeah.
But that's how it got to there. But that was all Stern.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. And then now you see with the Mavericks, they traded Luka and then they got the first overall pick. So do you think that trend of these franchise players getting traded and then the team receiving the first pick? Another example, LeBron left the Cavs and then they got the first overall pick. So do you think there's a trend there, or is that
what you're saying,
a coincidence?
It certainly sounds like it.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact. So by the Lakers trading Anthony Davis, he's a pretty good superstar, not a superstar. So would that make them eligible to be in the mix?
No. Good thing we probably won't be able to find out because they don't have any picks. But I wouldn't doubt it if they had a chance at the first pick. You never know.
I think the trade hurt them.
Do you think
Anthony Davis? Yes.
Yeah.
When it came down to Rudy LeBert, when it came down to the playoff time, I mean, Minnesota killed him inside.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the Lakers were just trying to make a deal for the future, to kind of sacrifice this year.
What's the deal?
Luka for AD. I think that deal was a future move and not a present move, because they had a huge hole at their big man position. But I think they were willing to sacrifice this year, having a weakness there, to build around Luka for the future.
Do you have any thoughts on how they're going to fill that hole?
The Lakers? One name that's interesting that has been brought up is Kristaps Porzingis going to the Lakers. The Celtics.
No, he's normal.
Mm-hmm.
He gets hurt.
Yeah.
He's got a virus.
Yeah. Yeah. Some sort of.
Third team. You know, he could score. No post game. Mm. He doesn't try it. That he'd be, to me, another good guy, nothing special.
Yeah.
But good, but nothing special.
Yeah.
So how do you explain the Lakers and the Clippers both getting wiped out in the first round? Well, LA is damp.
Well, with the Lakers, I think their hole at big man was they got unlucky in a way, having to go up against Gobert and Randall, but it was going to get exposed regardless at some point in the playoffs. So I think that's what was the problem with them. And the Clippers, I think the Clippers just got unlucky. They ended up having to play the Nuggets, who I think, if they are able to survive this series against the Thunder, I think they would be my favorites to win the championship. So I think in the Clippers' case, They pushed them to seven games. They just unfortunately had to go against the Nuggets, I think.
Well, I mean, they were playing so royal. They had a great game at Oklahoma City. The Nuggets fired a coach three games to go. They got a rookie coach, all those things, and yet they still didn't answer the bell.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they're looking into that. I didn't see the game, but I don't know if it was a defensive side Minnesota. I did see Minnesota play a little bit of a zone against the Clippers in the and Clippers looked like they didn't know what they were doing, and the score was really low, and set the tone. And then they went back to man, and went back to zone. So the Clippers did not adapt to the changing defense, which happens in the playoffs more than the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting for the Clippers moving forward. They had a good shot at it this season, but Kawhi is getting older. His health is always a question. Harden is the same way. He's getting older, and his health is always a question. Norman Powell, he had a great season, but he's getting older, so it's going to be interesting
to see.
How old
is older?
He's in his 30s now.
Okay.
So entering his 30s. It's gonna be interesting how they approach this offseason, which direction they decide to choose. Because I'm not sure exactly how much they can improve the current roster.
Well, I don't know if they have anything to give.
Yeah.
But Powell played very well when Kwani was down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, made up a lot of points.
Yeah.
And when he came in, they didn't lose a lot. He didn't contribute as much, but it wasn't much drop off that I thought. But the Clippers certainly should have gone further.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think one of the things I find most interesting in the playoffs is the first round matchups. Sometimes a team who could have made the finals gets bounced earlier in the first round or the second round just because of whoever they matched up against. I think the Clippers, if they didn't play the Nuggets in the first round, you might see them in the conference finals, you know.
But who give me a play. Who did you want to play?
The Clippers?
Yeah, I didn't play the Nuggets. Now, who do you want to play?
I think the Clippers could have beat anybody, except obviously they lost to the Nuggets, but I'm not sure exactly how a series against the Thunder would go, but I think against anyone else, the Rockets, Lakers, Warriors, Timberwolves, I think the Clippers could have had a great shot against any of those teams.
Well, it's like wish upon a star. Game 1-7, because of that, indicates that they couldn't overcome whatever Denver was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a 4-2, 4-1, but Denver was playing a lot of zone, very surprisingly. Okay. And the Clippers did not exploit the holes in the zone enough that I think that kept Denver around in the game. And then the big guy could take over, plus other. But no, he did a nice job for his first head coaching job, mm-hmm. Adelman.
Yeah.
Clippers didn't answer the call.
Yeah. Well, moving over to the Eastern Conference.
Go ahead.
The huge thing in the East right now, everyone's looking at Jason Tatum and him rupturing his Achilles. Well, what are your thoughts on the franchise and how they move forward, this series? Is there any chance left?
Oh, when it's mentioned to me how they can win without him. Yeah, sure. I think there's a chance. I mean, they'll fill that, not like you would want. I mean, emotion. They got good enough players to beat New York. And I think they can, and then going back and forth in a series. But right now, New York with its momentum, and even though it had lost, it's now 3-1, which is a very dangerous position.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got to win 3. New York's got to win 1.
Yeah.
So it's got to be New York. I don't think the Celtics, unless they shoot 75-63s again,
mm-hmm.
Which is could hurt them as much as I think it hurts them, because they don't make them and they get long rebounds and off goes Brunson and the rest of the Villanova teams.
Yeah.
So I think they're in deep trouble. And the young kid's going to be out for a year. Mm-hmm. It's a bad injury. Yeah. It's a bad sports injury.
Yeah. With the Celtics, I think they can definitely win tonight against the Knicks at home. You know, there's some emotion going into it. And I think if you win game five, then you never know what happens. If you win game six, you're back at home for a game seven. So I think there's still definitely a chance. It's going to be hard, though.
Well, they like when Chris Ford was playing to the Sixers, they were down 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back.
Yeah.
And yes. But the Knicks are a different animal. I mean, they grind it on both ends. They have clutch shooters.
Yeah.
Brunson is. I mean, I haven't seen one like that. Off the dribble, how he can take it in. Towns is big enough to bother you. No, I think it's a very different lineup, an obstacle for the Celtics. Now, you know, New York can be subconsciously saying, we only need one.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get sucked into that and they lose one,
yeah,
which they could, as you said, they still need just one.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the most concerning thing for the Celtics is that even before Tatum had got hurt last game, the game was already over. The Knicks were on their way to winning the game even before Tatum got hurt. So they've earned every single win. They came back down 20 two times in Boston. They made a double-digit comeback win last game, even with Tatum scoring 40-plus points.
See, that's the problem. Why are they blowing 20-point leads? I mean, that's a big gap.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hear people talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about the over amount of threes, Brunson, but I don't hear them talking about, you know, down 20 at home twice. And so it shows they can get the lead. But in this series, are they maintaining the lead?
Yeah.
Because they let them chip away. And when you take that 20-point lead and it starts coming down, it gives a lot of confidence to the opponent.
Yeah. I think it's a couple things. I think, one, a 20-point lead in the NBA now isn't as big as it used to be with a 3-point shot. So I think teams have the ability to come back. They have a better chance of coming back more than they have had in the past. But
New York didn't come back by threes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They just came back.
Yeah, they grinded out those wins. And the Celtics, they took 100 threes in the first two games. And I will say a lot of them were good looks, good open looks, and they just happened to miss. But when you get sucked into shooting so many threes, you start to see the lapse in them. When you miss that many threes, then that's when you start making those lazy plays. You start having more turnovers. The defense lessens up when you miss that many shots. So there's a huge consequence to missing that many threes.
Well, the other thing, the long shot gives you a long rebound.
Yeah.
And New York goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So they run down. That was one of the ways that they, you know, they got themselves back.
Yeah.
But again, in the next game, Boston was more in the normal flow. They weren't in that rush and shoot threes, so it calmed down, and the game became better for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the other night, my wife's watching, and the game is 42-40 at half.
Yeah.
And both teams had shot 11 threes. That's all.
Yeah.
So it's not like it used to be. And it wasn't a bad game. It was a chess match, and then it kind of broke open. You know, they were struggling. They got a couple dunks, threes, they got back. But they were not into fire for effect. There were so many points scored in the two-point range area. And if they get fouled, which is the old talk, is if I get in there, and if I get post, they say, well, you only get two. No, I can get three. Because a lot of you get, you know, get fouled. So it's a double-edged sword at times.
Yeah. It is interesting. I mean, the Celtics, it'll be interesting to see. They probably, they're going to live and die by the three, no matter what.
You're going to go to their funeral?
I'll be there tonight. If the funeral is tonight, we'll see. I'll be there.
Take your father.
Well, on the other side of the bracket.
My final now is New York Knicks versus Oklahoma City.
Yeah? You think the Knicks will make it past the Pacers?
Could. That should. Could.
They could. The Pacers are a buzzsaw. They...
Well, Halliburton's woke up.
Yeah. Their whole team, though, they are...
They're playing very hard.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Cleveland thing, I just woke them up. And Cleveland, boy, that's a tough one to explain.
Yeah. You would think they had a great season. They have a great team, right?
They got the coach of the year.
They have the coach of the year.
They look like Gungats.
Mm-hmm. They have two bigs. In the playoffs, it looks like the double big is coming back and
never used them.
Yeah, so I don't know how to explain the Cavs. I think you can't overlook their injuries. They did have to battle injuries between Mitchell, Garland, Mobley, Hunter. So I guess there's an injury excuse there, but even in the games they were healthy, Indiana just something.
Well, when I was watching them, which I don't watch during the season, so whatever they used in the season, I'm assuming they used in the playoffs. When I saw them playing that 3-2 zone and the Pacers are starting to riddle it, they never made any changes. Mm-hmm. He stayed in the zone the whole game. I've never seen that in the NBA. And I'm a zone guy. Next game, he came back, some zone. So they were out of whack. And then Indiana just smelled the blood in the water.
Yeah.
And just went after it. But he won, what'd you say, 64 games?
Yeah, they won 64 games.
Wow. Okay. And Indiana, fifth?
Indiana, they had around...
Normal.
Around 40... Yeah, close to 50 games.
They were ranked fifth.
They were the
one.
I think they were the fourth seed, and the Bucks were the fifth seed.
The Bucks still in the league.
They're trying. Oh. They might not be in the league much longer if Giannis gets out of there.
Come on. Their defense is terrible.
Yeah. What do you think about Giannis? Do you think Giannis gets traded?
I think he wants to.
Yeah. Well, I think he wants to. But it'll be about if the Bucks actually do trade him.
Whoever can afford him will take him.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, there are a couple teams who can offer a package. Everyone is looking at, like, the Thunder. The Thunder have a ton of draft picks and young players they could throw at them.
If he goes there, then
the league is
that's
over.
That's a dynasty.
It's over. So they're also looking at the Spurs. They could match him up with Wemby. I wonder how that fit would work.
How about this? Is Miami in?
Yeah, Miami's kind of in play. I think with Miami it's a little different because their roster isn't exactly as good as the other teams.
San Antonio would be interesting.
San Antonio would be really interesting having Wemby and Giannis.
Yes.
Some think that even Dallas would potentially trade the first pick for Giannis, which I think would be really, I don't know. I don't know how to think about that.
Well, you're going with the proven versus the hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trading away your first pick is doesn't sit well with fans, I think. But Giannis is big enough to overcome that. That would be very interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bucks, if Giannis is gone, the Bucks as a team will definitely plummet.
Is he unhappy there?
I'll go ask him right now. But
is he expressing it?
I think with Giannis, I'm not sure if he's unhappy, but the team just, you kind of can see the team is capped out now. They seem to be capped out already after they won the championship, so they traded for Dame in hopes that that would be enough to push them back into a championship. Dame tearing his Achilles. The fit wasn't exactly a great fit. The team just doesn't have a direction to go towards. Their players are old. They don't have any assets to trade for other players. There's not much that the Bucks can do to improve their roster, and I think Giannis obviously sees that, and he's getting older too, so there's really, if he wants to win more championships, it's most likely not.
Is he restricted?
He's unrestricted, but he's under contract though still for a few more years, so he can't just leave them.
So if you traded him,
mm-hmm.
you could get a good return.
Yeah, if you trade Giannis right now,
I mean, you can get a couple of players, right?
You can get a lot of good players and picks. I'm assuming there will be a ton of picks. Mikal Bridges this past offseason was traded for 5 first round picks. If Bridges could get traded for 5, then I think Giannis.
Who did that?
The Nets. They traded Mikal Bridges to the Knicks.
The Knicks gave him 5 first round picks?
They did.
Wow.
Yeah. So if that was for Bridges, I can only imagine what Giannis would get.
So, but they're like every other year.
Yeah, something
they
like that.
It can't be back to back.
It can't be back to back. But the loophole with that is you can swap picks with a team. So you could trade a pick this year, and then next year you could swap with the team. So it's almost like giving them your pick. But. Yeah, you have to alternate years if you want to give them an unprotected pick.
You know, I don't know that rule. I mean, is there a cap on the amount of picks that you can get?
I don't know, but...
Like, if he gets, like you said, 5, would the big guy be able to get 7, 8, 9, 10? I mean...
It would be...
How do you protect a franchise...
From making a big mistake?
From protect them from themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I've actually thought about that. If Giannis does get traded for a ton of picks, I could see there being a rule like that put in place, because we've seen it recently where teams have traded a bunch of first-round picks. Like, the Clippers traded a huge amount of picks to the Thunder for Paul George. The Rudy Gobert trade, there was... The Jazz received a bunch of picks for Gobert. They received a bunch of picks for Mitchell. You're just seeing, like, an inflation rate of where now, like, when stars are traded, there's just a massive amount of picks involved. And it, like you said, it can put a franchise in jeopardy. So you kind of want to protect the franchise from making a move.
Well,
like
Oklahoma's
that.
Got tons.
Too many to count.
So if he went there... If you're really thinking of building your franchise up, now you need picks, but you need a player replacement
mm-hmm.
of some sort. I mean, to aid the present, the picks are all, you know, down the line. But, you know, Oklahoma City and Ainge did it in Boston. They're doing it very smart. I mean, there's a little down period, which is coming now with Utah. But they also like to get, you know, a temporary replacement as well as the picks.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they must have faith because they signed a Utah coach to extension to 20,000, 25, 28, 25, 30, yeah.
Yeah.
5 more years.
Yeah, with the Jazz, it's interesting because they obviously missed out on the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. It's hard. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to be able to move forward. They've had a similar roster now for a couple years. They haven't drafted anybody, you know, generational or really great. So I don't know what their future looks like.
Well, you can say that about a lot of teams.
Yeah. They're just one of many teams like that.
I mean, like, I saw today Portland's for sale.
Yeah, are they?
And that's been in the Paul Allen from Microsoft. His sister owns it, so that's for sale. And they did a good thing. They signed the coach for an extension.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's for sale. But really, who's following Portland?
Probably only Portland, people from Portland.
traded away. Sacramento. Who's following Sacramento? Who's following the Pelicans? It's a constant disarray. Charlotte's trying to come back. The Wizards are doing a classical dump. I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that team is bad personnel. Utah, but they hope. So, in a way, for all kinds of reasons, the league needs the LA teams, New York, you know, Boston. Philly is slowly disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
From the scene.
Yeah. Well, they just got gifted the third pick, so.
Who would that be?
There's a couple players right now. This would be lucky, but the consensus number two pick, his name is Dylan Harper. He's a 6'6 guard. He's a very versatile scorer, on the ball player. He probably won't fall to the Sixers.
Is he a Duke?
He's out of.
Who's a shooting guard from Duke?
From Duke? On the Sixers?
No, at Duke.
This past season?
Declared.
I'm not sure, the player from Duke, but I do know.
It sounded like he had a foreign name.
There is a fine shooter. Yeah. Well, for the third pick, if it was the Sixers, there's a player named, his name's Ace Bailey. He's a wing player. He's a very athletic player, scorer. He would be a very good pick for them. If they chose him, there's another guy. His name's VJ Edgecombe. He's a shooting guard. He's a score type. So, for the Sixers, you didn't get Cooper Flagg, but there are some actual good options there for them to draft. I think that's the underrated part of this draft. Everyone is focused on Cooper Flagg, but I think, you know, there's some other good players around two or three too that are getting overlooked a little bit.
There's a lot of players even. In college, they can really score.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. But for a first-round pick, can you come up with a better name than Cooper Flagg?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's like Clark Gable. I mean, Cooper Flagg. From Maine, no less.
Mm-hmm. And went to Duke.
And went to Duke.
He's the perfect... prospect.
But the thing is, and you know, watch it more, is there any of those lottery teams that got a good lottery position to rectify where they are? Where did Washington fall?
I think Washington ended up, I'm not exactly sure. I think it was around the fifth pick or the sixth pick.
They stayed in there. Okay.
Yeah. But... Yeah, all the like the Jazz, Hornets, and Wizards all fell out of the top three, which I think is so funny.
But aren't they guaranteed to be in a certain position if you have it?
Yeah, like I don't think they would.
To stop, The curtail of tanking?
Like the Jazz. I think the Jazz had the number one odds of the first pick. And I think if you have the number one odds of the first pick, then you can't fall out of the top four.
Yes, you're right.
So I think they ended up with the fourth pick. I'm not sure with the Wizards or the Hornets since they had the second or third odds, but there is like a limit. You can't drop a certain amount. But
is there any big men
in this draft? Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware.
Well, we don't know Europe.
Yeah,
international. You know, with that, what's going on locally? Is San Diego State getting more roster players in the portal?
I'm not exactly sure. I know this upcoming season is going to be, there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. And with the transfer portal, that's kind of the new norm for most programs.
That's a monster.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure who they're bringing in, but I do know that it's going to be a different roster.
Well, they got a good center. A good player that they legitimately recruited. And I think they got like 12 transfers.
12 transfers. Wow.
And they got the kid that I don't think is ready. Bird, is that his name? He's at the NBA Combine in Chicago right now.
Really? Wow.
But I think he needs another year myself. But we also have Shaq, general manager at Sacramento State.
That's crazy.
General manager.
Son's going to school there. So.
And Mike Bibby's the coach?
Mm-hmm. I believe that probably has a huge impact for why Shaq is the general manager.
Sacramento State. And they play football too. Division I.
Really?
It's all over the place. But no, I don't see anything going back in the East that would influence the West out here. But I saw where the president had asked Saban to come and head up a committee for a transfer portal. And there's supposed to be a bill in Congress now. And Congress told Saban, stay out of our business.
Mm.
So, obviously, the portal is a problem that it haunts every team, every coach. I mean, the Michigan quarterback is up 12 to 20 million.
That's crazy.
I have to call Senator Carr on that. He may be coming down, so we can get him on the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, well, yeah.
He's the one who started all this with his Ed O'Bannon case. But outside of that, the lottery, which you think is fixed, which is very nice to have in America.
Something that's interesting that hasn't come out yet is the MVP award. Who do you think is going to win MVP? I'm sure they'll announce
somebody
it soon.
From the Wizards. I mean,
I'd love to see that happen.
The MVP award will go. Now, when did they vote?
I think
before the playoffs.
I think the voting's already done. Yeah, they just haven't announced it.
So the MVP, I think the kid from Detroit.
Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
You think so? He'll win the MVP?
Who do you got?
Well.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's between Shai Gilgeous from the Thunder and Jokic. I think it's pretty much between those two.
Jokic?
You never heard of him? He's pretty good.
Joker? Is that your defense?
Yeah, yeah.
Denver?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he already has won it.
Yeah, he's. I don't know how many he has at this point.
Don't forget that Detroit went from like 12 wins to 35, yeah. 36. This kid can play.
Mm-hmm. Cunningham is legit. He's all around too. He can do it all.
The momentum of the you said before. Well, you're not far off, in the voting. All right, so my guy doesn't win, and your guy doesn't win. Who do you think they would pick then?
If it wasn't
your guy or my guy?
I would probably say the next best chance would probably be
Brunson.
You know what? Brunson would be an interesting pick. I think this brings up a good question. What do you think are the grounds for the MVP award? Because that kind of I feel like the criteria to win MVP kind of changes every year. There's not like a set. Because
I really don't know. I think it's a matter of his aiding and abetting his team. To become better than it was, that made more influential in the game. That's a good question. Well, what encompasses the whole definition of an MVP? I would think what he does to better his team dramatically,
mm-hmm.
not just. They got to take it to or keep it at a level with it. And obviously at Denver, there was something going on when they fired the general manager and the coach. I mean, that's strange.
Yeah.
And he would still maintain his demeanor, didn't complain. Okay.
Yeah, I think, well, it's called the most valuable player. I think that's interesting. It's distinct from the best player. I think there's a difference between being the best and being the most valuable. So I think traditionally speaking, the MVP has been the best player on the best team. I think over the course of the NBA, that's usually been kind of who wins MVP. But what we've seen as of late is that's not the case. Because there's so many players now who put up incredible stats who you would say these players are incredibly valuable to their team. They're putting up numbers. So not necessarily the best player on the best team is the most valuable. So I would say I agree with you. I'm similar to you in how I think you could really tell who the MVP is when that player is not on the court for their team. I think when Jokic is not on the court for the Nuggets, they dramatically go down because he dramatically helps them when he plays. I think you could say the same about Jason Tatum. When he's off the court, the team doesn't really look the same. There's numbers to prove these things, so I think you'd have to look at the numbers, like the net rating for these players, how the team produces when they're on the court versus when they're off the court. So that would be my main thing is how does the team do without this player?
Do they have they don't have a best player award, do they?
No, they don't.
Would that be interesting?
That would be interesting.
So
I think
there'd be a best player and an MVP.
I think that would clear up a lot of the the confusion because a lot of times players put up incredible stats, like Luka a couple of seasons ago averaged, I believe, like 34 points a game. He had a great team success season, too. They had a great record. But he lost out to Jokic, who just had a better record than him. So I think if you had that distinction where, okay, the best player and then the most valuable player, I think that might make some fans happy because then some, like a player like that who might not have as good a record as like a top team can still receive an award for being incredible. So
would you take away the coach of the year? to the coach of Cleveland. Said, you're supposed to be coach of the year. What the hell's going on here?
I guess that's why it's a regular season award, right? Unless they made it a full season award. Yeah, if you had a – that would change a lot of awards probably every year if you had a regular season and a playoff. Regular season
coach of the year and a playoff coach of the year.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea.
I mean, they're adding more and more awards every year. Like, now they have conference finals MVPs. So, you know, they could add a coach, playoff coach of the year. You know, you never know. They're already making steps towards adding new awards. So I wouldn't be surprised now that you say that.
Yeah, I'm going to take credit for that.
Yeah.
Could they name it after me?
Yeah. Well, we can talk to
the DC word. Okay.
Let's talk to them right now about it.
Well, is that about it? Anything else you got on your mind?
I don't think so. What about you?
No, I'm eager for the Knicks.
Yeah.
You're eager for Boston. I'm talking paper-wise, not emotional-wise.
Yeah.
But Boston can survive without Tatum.
Yeah. Well, we'll see tonight.
All right. Good night and good luck.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Coach and the Kid. We'll see you next week.